Turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7. It is the Sunday school hour, so I didn't know if y'all were going through a book, so I do apologize if I'm pausing that study and that. But turn to Joshua chapter 7 is where we'll be today. Now, this story is probably, this story is... It's a story that I never really grew up learning as a kid in Sunday school. If you Joshua chapter 6, it's the Wall of Jericho. We all know this story. The Wall of Jericho is something that we've always learned growing up. It's a story that everyone knows. But this next chapter is a chapter that is honestly is hard to read sometimes. Because the topic of it is very serious. The topic sometimes is very convicting. And that is the defeat at Ai, or Ai, and the sin of Achan. Now, like I said, this is going to be a very kind of hard chapter to read because the topic I want to talk about today is the seriousness of sin. But I don't want to look at sin in regards to looking back and beating ourselves up over sin or wallowing over it or anything like that. I want to look at it, and hopefully at the end we can all just look back and think about God's grace over our sin. Because that's the message for today. So if you want to look at Joshua chapter 7, and just keep in mind once again, this is right after the wall of Jericho. Right after such great victory. Right after they trusted in the Lord Jesus, in God. They trusted in God, and God protected them, and they had such great victory. Then we hit this chapter. Look at chapter 7, and I want to read a lot of these verses, so bear with me. I just want to get the context of it, and you can follow along. Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadai, and the son of Zerar of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Verse 6 there says, "Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, 'Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turned its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do with your great name?'" Verse 10, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff.'" If you want to skip over to verse 19 now. Verse 19 says, and this is when Joshua is now confronting Achan. It says, "Now Joshua said to Achan, 'My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me.' And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden on the earth, in the midst of my tent, the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Verse 24 there, then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerar, the silver, the garment, the wage of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. You know, it's been said that this Christian life is like a roller coaster. And honestly, it shouldn't be that way. It really shouldn't, but in all reality, it is. You know, we're all really like on fire for the Lord. You know, you can say we're on this high, and then because of sin or something, we go back down, and then we kind of, you know, go back up, and then we go back down. And that's honestly sometimes our Christian life, and we see this in Joshua with Israel. They after such great victory after the wall of Jericho, and we know that story. After such great victory, trusting the Lord, then they hit this chapter, a chapter of disobedience, of defeat, of sin. And I'll be honest with you, I've been doing a study on Joshua, and I had a lot of lessons I learned from the wall of Jericho. But these lessons I learned in this chapter weren't as fun as the lessons in the wall of Jericho. Because like I said, the topic I want to kind of talk about is the seriousness of sin. How can sin affect it all? And just to recap what we read here in this story, you know, chapter 7 begins with the children of Israel getting ready to take out Ai. And little did Joshua know that a man by the name of Achan took something out of Jericho. We saw in chapter 6, the God commanded the people, and Joshua told the people, do not take of the accursed things. And yet one man took of the accursed things in chapter 7. We see in verse 21, that verse we read in chapter 7, exactly what he took. And you can read that. It says, he took a Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and 50 shekel wage of gold. And it was a curse because it came from Jericho. You know, everything in Jericho was a curse. Many of the possessions of the citizens of Jericho were used directly in their idolatry. And so you can say to take that which is of curse from Jericho is to participate in the sins of Jericho. And we see that Achan coveted those things. That it also says that in verse 21. He wanted that which God did not give him. And so what happens? Well, we read that in the Battle of Ai, around 36 men die because of it. And then all the way at the end, we see Joshua taking what he stole. We see they took his family, his tent, his animals, all that he had. And what does it say in verse 25? They stoned him with stones and they burned them with fire after they stoned them with stones. Now, I am very, very happy. When I read this, I am so happy that I live in a period of grace. Okay? That was my first thought here. But this is a very, very sad chapter. Very, very sad chapter. A chapter on sin and defeat. This chapter has so many lessons that we can learn from it. And I just want to share four lessons with you today. Go back to verse 1. Joshua 7, verse 1, we find the first lesson. It says, but the children of Israel committed trespass regarding the accursed things, for the Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zadai, and the son of Zerar, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. The first thing I see here, and I see throughout this chapter, and I see throughout the Bible, is number one, sin affects our relationship with God. Sin affects our relationship with God. In verse 1, right off the bat, we see the anger of the Lord. And if you look at verse 12, there's another example of that. It says, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. It's very interesting when you compare the two battles from chapter 6 and chapter 7. The battle of Jericho is so different. One, we see God's protection. One, we see God's righteous anger. God doesn't stand with them. Why? Because of sin. Sin affects our relationship with God. One of the most powerful psalms, I think, and one of the most powerful verses is Psalms 51. We know that's the story of David, right? That King David felt such separation when he had sinned. He lusted after another man's wife. He slept with her. Then he had her husband killed to cover up his sin. And in Psalms 51, verse 4, it says, against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You know, he did all these terrible things. And as he's writing the psalm, he's understanding something, that overall, every sin he's committed is against God. Every small sin, every big sin is against God. Sin creates separation. And so, what is the lesson we can learn from it? I'm thinking about the believers in this room. You know, what's the lesson we can get from it? Because we understand we can't lose our salvation. We know that. But the power of sin can still affect us in many different ways. And even as Christians, our sin can continue to separate us from God's fellowship. I am a huge fan of different quotes. I love reading quotes from other people and kind of getting a good explanation from it. And there's a quote that I found that really explains it very well, that I think. And it says, sin is like a dark curtain pulled over a sunny window. The sun is still there, but the curtain creates a separation from its warmth and light. Repentance lifts the curtain and restores a relationship we once enjoyed. God does not leave. He does not leave. But the light and warmth of fellowship was cut off when we chose sin. Right? We don't lose our salvation. And hallelujah for that. Jesus paid it all. But we can lose that love, the joy, the peace from the Holy Spirit when we continue to living apart from God. Psalms 51, verse 12 carries on. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. David says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Another great quote I found that I really love is sin causes a cup of joy to spring a leak. Now, I don't know if you ever heard that before, but I like that quote. Sin causes a cup of joy to spring a leak. It certainly drained David's cup of joy. You know, he felt such, you can say, depressed after he sinned. And he calls out to God to restore the joy of his salvation. Only God could restore the lost joy. Sin creates separation. And sin creates us to lose focus on what's important, right? We lose focus on God's will for our lives. Just look at Achan. He looked at what he wanted. He started to focus on those accursed things, and he went away from God. Sin separates us from God. And once we're separated from God, we lose that focus. We lose the, we leak the joy. We leak those things. It affects our relationship with God. So that's number one. Not only that, but number two, sin affects our relationship with others. Sin affects our relationship with God, but number two, sin affects our relationship with others. Now, maybe it's just me, but have you ever been so blinded that you think your sin is only going to affect yourself? But we see throughout the Bible, sin has consequences, and one of those consequences is sin affects others. Go back to verse 1. It's very interesting. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, look at the wording that's used. It says, at the beginning, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. Then it mentions one man. One man took of the accursed things. And then at the end of that verse, it says, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. We see here in this verse, he calls out Achan. He calls out Achan, one man, but yet it says the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Another example, go to verse 5. We're kind of bouncing around this chapter, but verse 5 there, it says, and the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shabarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore, the hearts of the people melted and became like water. A very easy battle they should have won became heartbreak. Sin affects others. And now go all the way back to verse 24. Just one more example. Verse 24. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerar. And what does it mention? It mentions his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, all that he had. And what does it say in verse 25? They stoned them with stones and they burned them with fire. Is Achan the only one that suffers because of it? Absolutely not. Everything around him suffered because of it. Sin affects others. Sin affects others. Let's go back to Adam and Eve. You know, the first sin ever committed as humans. Well, what happens after that? Well, we're all born with sin. Sin affects others. Another great quote I have. I have a lot of quotes that I love, so I'm sorry. But another quote I found that I really love and explains it so well. It says, you cannot plant sin even in private and not expect to reap a harvest of consequences. Now, if you're ever going to ask me about farming or being a gardener or anything like that, I probably would think right to my granddad on my dad's side. He lives in New Zealand. And he always had a garden, right? A big garden. Like, if he had a big property or small property, he would always have a garden. Now in his big property, he would have sheep and all other animals as well. But no matter where he is, he would always have a garden. And when we go to his house, he would always, you know, I expect something out of his garden, you know, whether it's some kind of vegetable or whatever. But if he were to plant tomatoes, or if I went out there to help them plant tomatoes, and then when it was time to pick them, I expected cucumber or something like that, I would be absolutely insane. And it clicked with me just thinking that way, because if we have sin, or we so-called plant sin in our lives, we shouldn't expect anything else but the consequences of it. And one of those consequences is it affects others. Another aspect of how sin affects others is that when we are in sin, it affects our testimony and our witness to others. I think the further I am away from the Lord, the less compassion I have. I find that, actually. We read in Matthew that talking about Jesus had compassion for the lost. That should be us. Right, but when we let that sin in or focus on something else, we lose our testimony. It's focused more on our personal gain. And then we tend to be interested in everything else except that which is the most important. Right? That's me anyway. You know, the times where maybe I focus on something else, I'm not focusing on the witness or the testimony. Opportunities to testify to our faith in Christ are avoided. We do not leave the proper impact, maybe, sometimes. So sin affects others. Sin affects others. Let's look at the third lesson. Now, I promise you, there's going to be some good news at the end. We just have to get through the hard lessons, okay? I promise you. Look at lesson number three. We had... number one, sin affects our relationship with God. Sin affects our relationship with others. And number three, sin affects how we think about ourselves. Look at verse 2 here. Joshua 7, verse 2. It says, now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. Now I don't really like to make assumptions, you know, in Scripture, but I'm gonna do something here. I'm gonna assume something, because to me, while reading this, this is what I see. I think as you read these verses, I think they got a little prideful after the wall of Jericho. That's just my interpretation of it. I think they got a little prideful after they had such great victory. They look at what they say. They're like, "Do not let all the people go up, but you know, let about about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. We got it." Now it doesn't mention this, but it never mentions that they prayed to God or asked God for His advice. Joshua just goes up and Joshua sends those guys to Ai. They think they had it. Right after such great victory over the wall of Jericho, I think, to me, reading these verses, I just think they got a little prideful. And isn't that how we live sometimes? You know, God does so much for us, but He gives us so much, and then we kind of maybe puff ourselves up a little bit. Psalms 10:4 explains that the proud are so consumed with themselves that their thoughts are far from God. It says, "In his pride, the wicked does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God." I see that with Achan, right? I see that with Achan. Throughout Scripture, we see the consequences of pride. Proverbs 16, 18, 19 tells us that pride goes before destruction. Do we see this in Joshua chapter 7? I think so. You know, pride is giving ourselves a credit for something that God has accomplished. Our pride has taken the glory that belongs to God alone, and we're keeping it for ourselves. Right? Anything we accomplish we only accomplish it because of God. And so I truly believe this is what the attitude of these people are in this chapter. I think they got caught up in everything and didn't go to God for it. Right, another quote I'll quote out there for you. You ever hear, "Be very careful when you're at victory, because that's when the devil likes to attack"? I think that's what's going on. You know, it's very interesting too. Chapter 6 of Joshua. You know, Joshua listened to the order of God. God told him to march around that city once for 6 days, and then march around 7 times on the 7th day. Joshua listened to God, and honestly, I dare say that was honestly, in human mind, a stupid military strategy. It was all like in human minds, it was awful. It really was. If you were to tell it to a soldier, they would just throw, you know, you're crazy. Yet God had a plan, and we know God's way is perfect. He listened to God. But then what happens in chapter 7? The men go to Joshua, and they give him, I think, a very wise military strategy. You know, this is easy. We don't have to waste all our people. But yet what happens? It ends in defeat. Sin affects how we think about ourselves. Let's look at the last lesson, number 4. And this is the saddest reality of it all. Okay, number 4, sin's punishment is death. Sin's punishment is death. We read these verses again, but go all at the end of chapter 7. Starting in verse 20 there, we see Achan. Now he's answering Joshua, and now he's coming clean. And Achan's coming clean. He's like, "All right, this is, I've sinned. All right, and this is what I've done." And he mentions, he gives a list of what he stole. And then we see verses 22 to 24, we see Joshua send messengers. They ran to him. They got all his stuff. And then what happens in verse 24? They take all of it. Not only that, but they take his sons, his daughters, his ox, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And then what happens in verse 25? The sad reality of it all. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire. After they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day, So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. The punishment of sin is death. Now, you might think this is a very harsh punishment, and I will admit something to you. When I read this chapter for the first time studying it, my first thought wasn't about what Achan stole. Wasn't about, you know, the people. It wasn't about anything. All I thought about was, this is a very harsh punishment. That's all I could think about. Like, this is harsh. Maybe a little too harsh. But when you think about it, this is what sin brings. Ultimately, sin's punishment is death. So how can that relate to us? Well, what can we learn from it? Well, I thought of Romans 6:23, which we all know, where the first part says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve. The punishment we deserve. We are born with sin, right? We are all doomed. Started from Adam and Eve, and it carried through all humanity. No one is righteous, no, not one. The seriousness of sin. Sin has effects, and one of the most major effects is sin's punishment is death. But of course, and now we're getting to the good news, okay? I'm sorry, we had to go through all of this hard stuff, but now we're getting to the good news. We know Romans chapter 6, verse 23 does not stop, where it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul there describes eternal life as God's free gift in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ had to be put on that cross, the perfect Son of God, to pay our sins. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus loved us so much, He would bleed and die. He was scorned and scoffed. He took it all upon himself. God knew it was the only way, the final sacrifice. The final sacrifice. Jesus Christ, a sinless man, would need to give his life. He has made a way for us. He's made a way for us. It's a way that's free from sin. God loved us so much. Yes, the punishment of sin is death. We understand that. Yet Jesus paid it all. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. And so as I look at this, at all what I've learned in chapter 7, you know, talking about the seriousness of sin. Number one, we had sin affects our relationship with God. Number two, sin affects our relationship with others. Number three, sin affects how we think about ourselves. And number four, we have sin's punishment is death. And so the last question I had for myself after studying all that is, all right, what do I learn from all that? Okay, what's the main thing now? Well, what do I get out of it all? Because sometimes we are going to fall, all right? We will fall. And sometimes maybe we do fall, or maybe someone around us falls, or they're living in sin. Like, what do we do? You know, what happened? What do we need to do? Well, to end this message, go to verse 10. Verse 10. Now, once again, I'm sorry we've been kind of bouncing around a lot in these chapters, but go to verse 10. Now, this is after the defeat of Ai, and the Lord is talking to Joshua. And he says in verse 10, "So the Lord said to Joshua, 'Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you.'" Verse 13, what does it say? "Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you.'" The Lord told Joshua to get up. All right, this is not a time to stay down. You know, this is time to kind of go to work. There's sin in Israel. There's sin around. Go deal with it. The Lord said, you know, you can't stand before your enemies until you take the accursed thing from among you. get up, go deal with it. I'll do one more quote for y'all. You ever hear the quote that says you can't keep a good man down? Well, in Proverbs 24:16, it says just that, right? For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. A person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ and depends on God throughout his life is going to fall. We have that human nature. That's the human nature we have. They may trip and fall, but he won't stay down. Right? When we fall, when we sin, we run to Jesus. We run to God. He is still there, right? His grace, his mercy are new every morning. Are new every morning. But what we can't do is stay in our sin, right? What we can't do is stay down. You know, this is the daily battle. You know, as Christians, we're going to fall, but we need to get back up. And I'll admit, you know, as I was studying this, you know, I kind of beat myself up maybe a little bit, you know, because when you get in this kind of topic and talking about sin and the seriousness of sin, you kind of maybe look back and just kind of think back to some things, or you know, you look back and you think about all the mistakes. But that's not the goal. Like I said at the start, this is not the goal for the message. That's not at all. You don't look back and beat yourself up and dwell on your sin or anything like that. But look back and just be grateful and be reminded of God's grace over our sin. Amen. You know, understand and be grateful for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though we are sinners, we've done things, he is still there. The seriousness of sin is great. That is true, but God's grace is greater. God's grace is greater. And we can just look back, not to dwell or ponder on sin, but look back and think about God's grace over our sin. Now, what a Savior we have. What a Savior we have. Let's just pray. Dear God and Father, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you so much for this church, Lord. We just thank you so much for your word. And as we look at Joshua chapter 7, Lord, and just the seriousness of sin, Lord, we just thank you so much that even though we fall and even though we are sinners, Lord, you still love us. Your grace and your mercy. We thank you so much for that. We thank you so much for your mission that you wanted to come down to save sinners, Lord. That was your goal and your mission. We're just so thankful for that. Lord, we lift up all these upcoming things, Lord. We just pray for Mr. Sam and as he gives the word in the next meeting, Lord. Be with him in your name. Amen.